welcome to Turn the Page, the official podcast of the Syosset Public Library.
This is Turn the Page podcast. My name is Jessica. I'm the Community Engagement Specialist at Syosset Public Library. My librarian co-host is...
Stacey Mencher, Reader Services Librarian. Woohoo!
And we are so, so excited to introduce our guest today. Would you like to tell us who you are and what you do?
Sure. I am Ariana Rimbolini, and I am the books editor at BuzzFeed, and I'm super excited to be here. Thank you so much.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about how, first of all, welcome to Long Island, fellow Long Islander. Are you still living in the area?
No, I'm in Queens, but okay. My parents and my brother are still in Smithtown, so I've got a lot of Long Island love. I go back a lot.
Oh, nice.
So tell us how you got involved with BuzzFeed and what you do with your position.
Sure. So I was an English major. You know, I was kind of like, well, I don't know what I like, but other than like reading and books. And I had gone to, I did my undergrad for a very long time. I took a lot of time off. And so I ended up graduating when I was 26, and kind of felt, you know, like you feel this pressure, like you're behind, even though there's no real timeline and all of that. And so I just started sending out applications like crazy, kind of, you know, shooting like above what I thought I was, you know, qualified for just because of it. Mm-hmm. And in 2013, BuzzFeed, which was just kind of like, you know, building up, and they had just started their news section, they were hiring for a books editor, and it sounded great. And I applied. I did not get it. Isaac Fitzgerald, who is wonderful, he got it, but they offered me a writing position, and obviously I took it, and Isaac was so gracious. He knew we were both, like, you know, in the running for it, and he just took me under his wing and was like, let's work closely. Let's, you know, make sure that you're involved in a lot of books posts, and the joke was kind of, you know, whenever you're ready to leave and go to your next thing, just let me know. And that's kind of what happened. I took some time off after a few years to work on my own writing and found that the freelancer life was not for me. And coincidentally, right at that time, Isaac was starting a new project, a Twitter show that was based in BuzzFeed. And so let me know, and it worked out. And so I've been back in the at BuzzFeed as the books editor since 2017. And I just am in charge of all the books content. I'm technically on news, but I work with like the BuzzFeed.com side. It's all like, you know, behind the scenes, not important technicalities. But, you know, we do our seasonal lists. I'm constantly reading what's coming up. We just started this year, like really putting a lot of energy into our social media, our Instagram. We're doing a lot of features on there, live events. So anything books, I'm coordinating, so it's a lot of fun. I have great people I work with, and yeah, that's kind of it.
I think that's awesome, because I use a lot of that content for our social media, specifically our Facebook page. For Jessica and I do the trending, hashtag trending, which is pretty much anyone age 18 and up, because they're like, if you're under 18, you could still be a teen. But we have a Facebook page, and I'm like, oh, what are they doing with, let's look at books on BuzzFeed. They have really good lists. Need a book recommendation? I'm like, check all this stuff out. So I love the content that you put out, because it's so helpful, like, especially for librarians, aside from being a reader.
Thank you so much. That's like, nothing could make me happier than knowing that actual readers are connecting to it, you know?
Yeah, I think you must have the feeling that sometimes we get of just kind of being buried under ARCs and just having to read your way out.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And now, you know, that we're not, we haven't been at the office since last March. And so it's just kind of like constantly finding space in my apartment, you know, like it's just really kind of overtaking my home. And obviously, you know, New York, there's not a lot of space anyway. So I've been thinking I want to put together, you know, a little free library for outside. I think that could be fun. It's like a little dream project I'm hoping for this year.
Syosset Library actually stewards three, although one of them is on a seasonal break, three little free libraries in the community.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I love them.
Yeah, they're really a really nice way of sharing books and outreach. My husband won't let us have one at my house, though. So.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of it. I guess we have to ask our landlord, I guess, because it's, you know, it's kind of like a fixture. But it's just, you know, we have a used bookstore nearby, but they don't take galleys, which is understandable. And it's just like, I can't imagine just recycling them or something, you know. It's just constantly trying to figure out who I can give them to.
So how do you, when you put together your lists, what is your criteria? Do you have a formula or does it change depending on what the year brings?
So there are basically two types of book lists we do. One is the seasonal and yearly, which is, you know, we do the best of spring, best of summer, et cetera, and then end of year. And those are based on just what I like, kind of. You know, I have a lot of freedom in editorial discretion, and I think I've developed a good relationship with our audience so that they trust our tastes. And so general, like, literary adult fiction and nonfiction comes through me, and I always like make them too long. And my manager is like, you can calm down, you know, but it's just like, there are so many books. There are so many.
You can't calm down when it's about books. Come on.
These are people's lives, you know, it's their dreams. And I'm just like, I'm reading books until like the last second. Like, we already filed it with the copy editors. And I'm like, no, wait, here are two more blurbs, you know, like, so I'm always trying to like, not overwhelm myself. It's very difficult. And then we also do, you know, kind of what we call evergreen posts, which would be about like a theme. Obviously, you know, we're doing a lot of like romance and doing like a really sexy erotica post for Valentine's Day. And those will often come from freelancers who are really deep in those genres. And sometimes we'll like collaborate with Goodreads on their data to be like, you know, these are the books Goodreads user are loving. We recently started collaborating with Libro FM, the audiobook company that works with indie.
Oh, cool.
So we actually have a post in the works with Libby, who we did a survey last year about how people's reading habits changed, and like 80% of people were like, oh my God, I discovered Libby. I love Libby so much. Which, you know, if people don't know, it's the free audiobooks, ebooks. I'm sure your listeners definitely
know. We love Libby. We love Libby here at the library. Our patrons love Libby. Back when I used to ride a train, you know, like the Long Island Railroad, which I'm sure that you're aware of, I used to love Libby because it was the quickest way to just get a book while I was waiting for something.
Oh, yeah.
Be like, oh, I'm going to try to get this Wi-Fi. Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm going to try to get this Wi-Fi at the Dunkin' Donuts outside of the station and download a book on Libby.
Yeah.
Because it'll sustain
me. Right, like the 1 minute that you're stopped there. Oh.
Right, you're trying to get that signal, you're like, got it, and I got a book.
Yeah, I got into audiobooks in a big way last year. Like, I don't know if you two did, but I did have a pretty big like pandemic slump where I just couldn't get into reading, which is a problem for my job.
And I was gonna say I can relate to that.
It's like, I kind of need to fix this. And audiobooks, it just clicked for me. I didn't really care about podcasts, which usually like I was obsessed with. And now I can't get enough. Like, I go for walks every night just to listen to audiobooks. It's so great.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's so funny because my slump was busted by reading horror and thrillers, because somehow reading about horrible things happening in a fictional world was really distracting from the horrible things that were happening in the actual world.
Yeah, I mean, fair. When we, the week that we were waiting for, you know, the election results, I spent like one whole day just reading thrillers, and I read The Push by Ashley Audrain, I believe.
Dying to read that.
That's on my list.
Oh, it is. I sat down on the couch and was like, okay, I'll read for an hour, and I did not get up for like 3 hours. I was like hunched in the same position. It's so good. It's so good.
I've heard wonderful things about that one.
Yeah.
So it was really, I kind of turned to thrillers to distract myself from just constantly checking the news that wasn't really changing.
Yeah, that's kind of, that whole refresh button was not really refreshing. So.
Right.
So do you have, when you listen to audiobooks, do you have like favorite?
Any like authors, narrators, genres?
I've been meaning to do a post that gives narrators a lot, you know, some love, because you can take for granted that what they're bringing to it, you know, and actually the first time I did a roundup of audiobooks that I really loved, I didn't have them in the post, and someone, you know, very graciously reached out to me and they were like, I love this, but you need to like give them credit. Like the narrators are so good. And I was like, oh, of course, like what an oversight on my part. So I'm kind of ashamed to say I don't know anyone off the top of my head. But there, I've now listened to enough that I've had, you know, recognized it's like, oh, this was the narrator from XYZ. I'm trying to think of ones that I love. I don't really turn to a genre. I guess fiction. I can't really get into nonfiction and audio. I think like a thriller definitely keeps me going back to it. I don't usually read a lot of YA, but I listened to the audiobook of I Killed Zoe Spanos last year.
Oh, I don't know that one.
It was a really fun YA thriller because it's part of it is about this high schooler who's putting together a podcast trying to solve a crime in her neighborhood. And so it's sort of produced as a podcast. It's just like there are certain books you're like, this was made to be listened to. And that was definitely one of them.
Ooh, nice.
How big is the team that works on the book's posts?
It's small. We're, you know, small but hardworking. So it's me and then Farrah Penn. She is in LA and she leads all of the YA content. And we've been collaborating a lot more in this past year, trying to kind of just get like a cohesive idea of what BuzzFeed Books does. There are two writers who are fantastic. Shyla Watson does a lot of romance and mystery coverage. Kirby Beaton does historical fiction, and they're all just like brilliant. They have so many ideas about what really does well on Instagram and what will catch readers' attention. And then we have, you know, freelancers that we turn to a lot, which is always really helpful.
That's really cool. Is it hard to like not necessarily schedule, because I know that like there's the LA office, like I'm assuming this is more before working remote than like before COVID life of like between the two.
You mean between LA and New York?
Yeah, with the time difference.
Yeah, you know, I think that might be, I haven't thought about that, but I think that might be one of the reasons why we have been working more closely this past year, because everything is on Slack now. So it's a lot easier to just check in with each other. You're just more used to it and not relying on, even though we could have been using Slack in the past, we just weren't using it as much.
So what are you really excited about for 2021? Is there anything on the BuzzFeed list that like you can't stop wanting to run out into the street and shake people and tell them to read, but you can't because 6 feet apart?
Right. This is like, I don't know if you relate to this, but like, this is the question. I mean, I do have an answer because I thought about it, but people will ask me, and it's like, I've never read a book in years. Like, I'm like, I don't know. Like, you know, like, what have I read? Like, it just all goes blank. And I'm like, no,
it happens. It happens all the time, especially like if, for instance, I'm like, sitting at at the desk and somebody's like, can you recommend a book for this? And I'm like, yes, I like books. I read them. This, right. But yeah, I do it.
Right. Oh, like, no. I swear, I know I read a book I liked recently, and I don't know why I can't think of it.
That's going to be the name of this episode, is I know I read a book I liked recently.
It happens all the time. And then I'm like, I swear I'm good at my job. I don't know why I can't.
But, well, this is like when you're put on the spot.
Yes, exactly, exactly. But I did prepare because I assumed I might be asked this. I'm reading a lot of, you know, spring books right now as we prep to put up the spring list. I am devouring The Fourth Child by Jessica Winter. Ooh. It's about, it's, you know, kind of like a two-generation story about a woman, I guess three generations, a woman and her mother and daughter, and the kind of middle generation, Jane. She grew up in a Catholic upbringing, and it's you know, it's kind of dark. She's really obsessed with like self-punishment. It's a very Catholic vibe, which I grew up as a Catholic, and I really relate to it. And just this idea of this belief that kind of punishment is worthwhile, and like her dealing with the fact, like coming to terms with the fact that that's a really dangerous belief. And it's so good. There are so many levels to it, and I'm probably not doing it justice, but I love it.
It sounds really great. Yeah. And I'm looking at a description of it now, and it takes place during the 90s, which I was a teen during the 90s, and I guess I'm at that point in my life where I really like to read about things that happened during my teenagehood, but not like necessarily, and this isn't knocking YA, but not necessarily in a YA way, you know, right. Reading about it as an adult, but you know, looking back at it through the eyes of someone experiencing it.
Yes, and it's really about motherhood and like needing to find a way to like take this love that you feel and like obligation to save people and direct that to someone whether or not they want it or not. I can't wait to write about it. But I had my first child in 2019, and so like I know that I'm very much invested in motherhood stories right now in a big way, and it really spoke to me in that way.
Stacey had her first child in 2019.
Oh, really? I had my son at the end of 2019. So when people go like, oh, did you read anything good recently? I'm like, I'm the worst person to ask, because I can tell you, yes, I have read Kiss, I Love Colors, teaching my child about colors, the band Kiss. Do you want to read that whole book? No, yes. I saw that. My slump has been, aside from COVID, it's just like, I've been like, oh, yeah, cool. I kind of read this in the meantime, but I had a baby and like I watch Rafi 24/7 now, so I don't really do that.
See, this I got around Rafi because we showed our boys, I have twin boys, we showed them old OK Go videos and Fraggle Rock.
Oh no, if you want to know, my son, who's like, I'm like calculating how old he is, he's like a little over one, but he likes Rafi because we think, and by we I mean my in-laws, think that he kind of looks like my husband in a way. They're both bearded, dark hair, and like,
oh, you mean, wait, you mean Rafi looks like Andrew?
Yes. People think,
no, like your son does not have a beard.
My son does not have a beard, and my son has blonde hair at the moment, but of that, and I'm just like, cool. But his favorite song is Hands Up by Ottawan.
Oh, I love
hands
that.
Down. That's like his favorite. But
hands down.
Going back to books, because I love audiobooks and I listen to them in the commute to work and sometimes at home. But I'm like, I can't always listen to it out loud because I'm like, my son is going to be learning words. And I sometimes read books that are either I'll label it like NC-17 because some romance can get hot and heavy. And I'm like, I don't think my son needs to learn any of this. Or I'm reading a thriller and like, you know, there's some cursing in it or violence. And I'm like, maybe not this either. So.
Yes, totally. But, I was like, am I subconsciously messing him up if I like let him listen to this book about murder? But
I realize it doesn't even matter because I finished listening to the Ali Wong, her biography, Dear Girls, memoir, biography, whichever one it was. I finished the audio while rocking my son in his rocking chair. And I was like, all right, this kind of works. Whatever, he'll learn.
Yeah. Well, I have to warn you then because The Push is excellent, but it is tough to read as a new mom also.
I've heard that.
Yeah, it's, I'm not going to spoil anything, but there's just a very devastating moment. And I definitely lingered on it for a little too long, but I don't think that means it's not worth reading or listening to, but just to prepare yourself.
Okay, it's good to have the warning. Cause I remember we interviewed, I don't know if it was just me, a British author. I'm trying to remember her name. I could tell you what the book title was. The book title was it The Good Sister by Gillian McAllister. So we interviewed her for our podcast and I was pregnant at the time. And there's a event that happens to a baby and figuring out all that happened and this, what happens between the two sisters. Cause one of them was watching the baby when stuff happened. And I'm just they're like, are you sure you want to do that? You're pregnant. Are you sure? And I'm like, this is fiction. But thank you.
Yeah. It's a matter of figuring out what you can handle. But I also just wanted to shout out one more book that I'm loving too. It's called Of Women and Salt by Gabriela Garcia.
Oh, I've been hearing about that one.
Yeah, it's really, really good. She definitely got a lot of buzz since her debut. And what I like about it is it's compact. You know, it's not overwhelming. But it's about, again, I was like, oh my gosh, I can tell that I'm really in the zone. It's about three generations of women and kind of coming to terms with their immigration from Cuba to the States. And it's a lot more historical than I usually go to. I kind of have a tendency to zone out a little with deep history or political stuff. And she does a really good job of weaving it in short enough snippets that I don't do that. And so it's really, really good. The writing is just beautiful.
Well, that's awesome. The cover is really pretty.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
I was I 100% judge books on covers.
That is the big fallacy, I think, that people say you can't judge a book by its cover. And when you're talking about people, you probably shouldn't, if that's a metaphor, but people judge people judge books by their actual cover all the time.
That's how I found some of my favorite reads.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. How could you not? And that's actually another thing that I wanted to do for so long is do a post about, cover designers. Cause I'm obsessed with cover designers. Cause I secretly wish I was actually an artist, but I'm terrible with art.
I think that's really worth mentioning that there definitely is a lot that goes into designing book covers. I mean, there are people who that is what they do to make a book appealing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm so curious about how, these trends come about because they happen years in advance, there's obviously a long lead time between when you put together a cover, even if just a year. And so it's how do all of these books end up coming out with similar themes? I think it's so interesting.
Yeah. I saw a very recent post about somebody who was talking about all of the books recently having women from the back, looking away, but from the back.
Yes.
I'm oh my gosh, yes, that's true. I didn't think about it until just now, but yes.
So, yeah, LitHub does a lot of really good stuff with that.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, they have a good series about just general commentary on covers.
So I guess one more question before we go. So how has the pandemic, other than the fact that you're working from home, how do you think that the pandemic has changed what you do at BuzzFeed regarding books and I guess entertainment in general, since most of us are consuming entertainment in a different way?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question. I think that as soon as we realized that we weren't going to be going back to, quote unquote, life as normal anytime soon, we had a meeting with the other books writers and my manager, Carolyn Bokalviak, about how we could fill in the gaps of what was being lost in the literary community. And obviously one of those things was events, you know, and indie booksellers just losing revenue. So we shifted a lot of focus to, we do weekly events listings, virtual events listings. We started hosting our own, you know, live Instagram Q&As. For a while, we were doing some author readings on Instagram that I am hoping to go back to. There was like no good reason that I just let it die. And we also shifted a lot of focus on supporting independent booksellers. So we started doing collaborations seasonally where I would ask, you know, either owners or just employees at bookstores some of their favorite books, and then we could just link directly to their sites to buy from them. And I just have a growing, you know, sort of proverbial Rolodex with bookstore contacts, and they're such good resources. They're like, you know, like you guys, they're like the expert. They have so many recommendations. And so I would say those are our two main focuses that we shifted to, which is giving authors space to talk about their new books, and just working more with bookstores who are not really able to interact with customers as much anymore.
Yeah, we've actually spoken twice. And now that I'm thinking about it, I should reach out to her again to see if she has any spring recommendations. We've spoken to Sarah High of bookshop.org, which really got going in the beginning of the pandemic and is a lifeline for so many independent bookstores.
Oh, yeah, that was perfect timing. You know, I mean, not ideal timing, but it was just like, wow, this is, I think they, you know, because we do affiliate stuff with them. And I just remember they kind of like, okay, we need to get this going quickly.
Yeah. Once again, this was really great. Thank you so much for chatting with us about it.
This
it sounds
so
really
fun.
Exciting.
Thank you. This was really great. Thank you so much.
Well, this was so much fun. This was Jessica with Syosset Libraries.
Gotta close this chapter, Jessica.
I'm doing it. Jeez.
I thought you weren't going to say it.
I'm going. This is Jessica with Syosset Libraries Turn the Page podcast. My librarian co-host was
Stacy.
Our guest was
Ariana Rebellini.
And we are going to close this chapter of Turn the Page.
It's time to close this chapter of Turn the Page. Join us for the next episode.